is Matthew 12, 22 through 32. Well, it's on the screen. But somebody might want to turn to Mark chapter 3, 22 and 30. It's very similar, but it's a little different. And I don't think we're going to get to the Mark piece right now. I don't think we're going to get to Mark, but it's the same thing. So let's take, now I want you to take, okay, let's just go. Here we go. Parable of the strong man. This is going to be part one of part two. All right. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Okay. I got some of my notes up there or whatever, but now, I want you to take a look at something. Let's look at this from a natural perspective, and then let's look at it from a spiritual perspective and application. Here we go. You got two types of people here in these verses. Who you got? You got the people that believe, and you got the Pharisees, translated crazy church people. All right. So you got the people and crazy church people. All right, here you go. All right. Do both of these folk categories, groups, they both see the miracle? Got it? One group sees the miracle and they see the Son of God. Or they see God in the miracle. What do the Pharisees see? Not yet.
They see demonic.
Not yet. This is important to get this. And all the people, let's just do the people first. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? So not only do they see the miracle, but through the miracle, they see the son of David.
Right.
Or they see Jesus as Messiah. Right. And then they have that question that says, this must be the truth. Got it? The Pharisees look at the same miracle. And their first response is this. Look at the first response.
No.
But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow. Stop right there. The people say, this must be the son of David. They call him the son of David or the Christ, the Messiah. The Pharisees say, it ain't the Messiah, it's just the buster. All right. This fellow. Got it? So they're discrediting his character. Then they come back and try to discredit the miracle by bringing in Beelzebub slash Satan. It's kind of important to understand this for a reason. Everybody got it in the natural. One group responds and said, I see Jesus in this. It must be the truth. The other group says, I see the same miracle, but look at the guy who is going through, and he must be doing it through the power of the devil. Which means what the people say is the truth, they say is a lie. Got it? All right. Question. Why do the Pharisees want to call this a lie? Why are the Pharisees responding differently than the people? Talk to me.
Because I think
it could be doubt. Keep going. Let's go.
Because they think that they know everything and that this is not
There is no Jesus. There is no Messiah.
Well, they know the Messiah is supposed to be coming.
Yeah, but they don't think.
Well, their power and importance in the group is at stake.
Right.
Roger. He's all on it.
It's the same motive in every one.
In every.
As far as the Pharisees go.
Well, they're refusing to believe who he is.
They're losing power. They're losing position.
They're losing power. They're losing position. There may be doubt because this fellow is coming in a manner that they did not expect it to come. But it's all about the money. It's the power. And so from this, they're looking at this going, we see this, but we're fearful. There's fear involved in this. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of losing their position, afraid of the power, afraid of losing the money, afraid. So because of their fear, they are responding in a particular way.
Yeah, they fear everything but the Lord.
Well, there you go. Yeah. But you can't tell them that because the crazy church folk, and they think that what they're doing lines up. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't.
Well, if we go back to the last parable, they're functioning in the old, not the new.
Well, they're functioning in the old and not the new. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right?
So here. The Holy Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now,
but that's not the natural.
Why are they changing the truth into a lie? We know why. Okay, bad question. What is the objective of them changing the truth into a lie?
To get the attention off
of Jesus.
Christ,
right.
So that people will not follow Christ, and continue to follow them so they can continue to be in power and do it the way they want to do it. Got it?
Does that still occur in churches today?
Does it still occur in churches? Oh, God.
Can I just say, doesn't it?
I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all over this nation right in front of our faces.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Jimmy just said the same thing happened to Martin Luther when he brought in the Reformation.
Right. Okay. So I got some notes here. And I haven't looked at these in a while or whatever. It wasn't the miracles that set off the Pharisees. It wasn't a miracle. It was how the people responded to the miracle that was a threat to them.
When all of them should have been celebrating the miracle.
Because it was the truth. I like that. I'm going to say that again. Everybody should have been celebrating the miracle. But because the miracle did not happen in the manner that they had expected, and because the miracle and through it was working through was a threat to their position and their power, they wanted to discredit the person and turn the miracle of truth into a lie so that you don't see God in the miracle, so that the people will not follow after the truth.
How often do we do this to our own selves in our own lives when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want Him to answer them?
Okay.
So I have a testimony on that. A few months ago, my job moved me and my coworker out of where we were, and we didn't understand. We're like, well, why did you switch us? We should be under technology.
Right.
Well, the other day at work, they have so much disruption where we were right now that people are getting moved and people are not happy. That it's like the Lord knew that was coming. Even though I wasn't happy, she wasn't happy, we didn't understand why we were being moved. But now we do. It's like He saved us from being in that mess that's happening in this department now.
Okay.
To where we are today. And it's like we didn't even see. And we're like, thank you. We could have been in that and not knowing where we would have been at all. So it's like He worked that out, even though we didn't understand. And we're like, well, why would this happen? He knew it was coming and He moved us
forward. Well, I'm shocked and appalled that you guys are trying to convey this parable and study to the workplace. All right. Now, I didn't think about this, and I think I got it in my next section. But as I started looking at how this applies to today, and Deb, you kind of hit on it. Not only does this happen in our churches, but this happens in our families, in our relationships, and it happens in our nation. It happens across the world. And as I'm looking at this, I'm gonna give the credit to the Spirit because I'm not smart enough. I saw, man, as I apply this to today, this is the definition of misinformation.
Yes. Very much so.
Let's look at it again. We see the truth, but the message coming from the Pharisees is, one, you can't trust this guy, and two,
it's fake news.
For the purpose of drawing people away so that they can maintain their power, control, their liberties, their freedoms, their whatever you want to call it. I am not political. I am an independent because I think all of them are crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they reveal the depravity of their hearts.
Ooh. So, just like we talked about whether new styles of worship and things like that can be brought over, and how do you know whether it's good information or bad information? This is just Chuck now. The way I process the same four steps that I use to figure out whether this style of music or this particular song or whatever is going to fit into my, you know, playlist of worship songs, by following those four steps, I have to look at the character of where the information is coming from. One, look at the Pharisees. Are they humble?
No.
I don't have to go any further. So now I already know if you're not humble, I can't listen to anything that comes back because, two, do they have a changed mind from the old to the new? No. All right. So they failed. Well, if they ain't good, one, you know they ain't going to get two. Three, is it based on the word of God? Is there hope in it? Is there truth? Or is it fear? And one of the first things, when Jesus shows up on the scene, one of the first things he tells his disciples, one of the first things that angels in the Old Testament tell people when they have an experience with God is,
fear not.
Because God didn't give you spirit of fear. And then four, does the information bring God glory? And if it does not, it is misinformation. And all of a sudden, you have fallen for the lie of the Pharisees or the
whatever.
Again, I don't get into politics. I'm an independent. I don't think any one of them. But if your politics allows you to do the Spike Lee thing and take a trash can and throw it through the pizzeria in your hood. All right. misinformation. If your politics says, oh, I'm fearful or whatever, and now you're going to storm the Capitol, misinformation. So I don't see any good in any of it as we get ready to go into the next verses. But as a believer, I have to make sure that I don't take the truth and turn it into a lie, and I got to make sure I don't take the lie and then call it the truth, because the lie might keep me from the truth of God, and I'm all about the truth. Can you see how easily you can get entangled in the world and miss the truth? And if you miss the truth, then you miss God and the miracle. Oh, now, before we leave and go to the next section of Scripture, what is the purpose of the miracle?
To make Jesus known.
Yes. The purpose of the miracle. Look at what the miracle did in the story. The miracle allowed people to see Jesus
as the Messiah
and obey the truth. So the purpose of the miracle was to bring people to God. Amen for the miracle.
This is the verse that says, for your good and his glory. It was for this man's good and for God's glory.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yep. Oh, yeah, when he's talking about the blind guy. You know, was he blind? Was it some kind of sin or whatever? No. Just so that God can be glorified through his affliction. And he works like that. All right? So, we see the purpose of the miracle, right? Mm-hmm. It's to lead people to Christ.
Right.
Is there another purpose of the miracle in this story that we might be missing?
Expose the hearts of
good gracious almighty. Boy, David, you know what? That makes up for all that foul stuff that you were talking about last week. Stay in the story. The miracle does two things. Not only does it reveal God and his truth and draw us closer to him, but the miracle also reveals the hearts and the attitudes of the haters. All right? So, and maybe this works better for the inmates than for us. So I'm telling the one inmate that's getting ready to leave, I'm like, you need to be aware that all this Jesus that you have in you, that you are a miracle. And I asked him a question. Before you came to prison, is the way that you're coming out of prison the same way that you came into prison? He said, oh, God, no. I'm saved. I said, that's a miracle.
Yes.
And some of us who are saved, we know how we used to be. Amen. And the mere fact that I'm in church teaching Bible study, are you kidding me? That's a miracle. But I cannot be discouraged when people see my miracle and they say something bad about me, all right, and then say the truth of what's going on is a lie. So I'm telling this young inmate, I'm like, some people will see what you're preaching and teaching when you get out into the free world, and some people will say, ooh, that's a miracle. I see Jesus in you, and I see the truth. Others might say, I see an ex-felon, and I see jailhouse religion, all right? And so then they discount you, and they discount the fruit of your miracle. Or they're fearful, or they doubt. And you got to be careful, because now all of a sudden you've put yourself in the category of faith. So it's very important. Thank you, David. It's very important to understand that the miracle reveals not only those who are following the truth, but it also reveals those who are against it. And you got to be careful, because sometimes we're not always on the right side. Sometimes we might fall over into the left side. That's why I really had to look at this when I'm starting. Looking at Christian rap and Christian rock and Petra and some of this other stuff or whatever, I'm like, I don't want to put my mouth on something that might be of the Lord. Just because it's not my preference.
I just like judging other churches and what's going on in other churches and what's going on.
You can apply this across the board. Yep.
And all the stuff that's out there. I
was at a church yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, I see, this is really nice, this is really wonderful, this is really powerful, or whatever. I said, yeah, but, So I want to be very careful about that, because my, it might be actually true, but I want to make sure it's not because, I just want to make sure. Do you think this applies to us today? Do we think we need to be careful that we don't always think that we're falling on the right-hand side? That there might be some issues that we... And so, if you want to make sure... Hey, this is just Chuck. If you want to make sure you don't fall over into that crazy religious side or whatever, don't be crazy church folk, just follow the steps. Just, is God in this? Does this grieve my spirit? All right. And be careful what you see on the internet and stuff like that, because everything that comes across the internet might not be the truth. You got to go back to the root and figure out. Boy, I don't know. Well, you know, you even got foreign nations putting stuff on there trying to bait people or whatever, you know. So I just have to be very careful that whatever I see may not be the truth, because I got to understand what is the motivation behind it, and are you trying to preserve your status, which is totally against the Word of God.
You have to check the evidence.
Check the evidence. Step two. That would be step two. Step number one, I saw something out there. I want to believe this. I think I need to check it out. Two, let's weigh the evidence. Let's repent from just following the hook. Let's go back and check. Three, does it line up with the Word of God? Okay, I see some hope with this. And now, by me following and believing this, does God get glory? Boom, I'm on safe ground. Got it? I don't think everybody goes through those steps to process the information.
No.
And the whole idea of the Pharisees was to discredit Jesus and then give the false information so that people will stop following him and follow them and go, oh man, this one, let me tell you what I just heard from the Pharisees. And they must know because they church folk. And then all of us, okay. All right, let me keep going. I want to at least get to this part.
Don't you think a lot of times that's from, you said fear, but fear of things changing.
I heard this in my professional work. In my professional work, back in the day of quality and stuff like that or whatever, I heard this saying. I've carried it for the last two decades. The only people that like change are babies with wet diapers. That's what I heard.
It's true.
It's true. We don't like change. We absolutely don't like change. Why? Because it's scary. Baby comes out of the womb and don't realize, bruh, it's a whole lot easier for you to be outside of mama than inside of mama. All right? But he still cries when he comes out. Well, he gets smacked around too, but yeah. And even with death, don't we know that this is not our home?
Right.
Now, don't get it twisted. I ain't trying to get out of here any sooner than what he said. Get out of here. But isn't there a little apprehension over coming out or whatever? Yeah. Because that's why I got to have that black. Well, you say it's unknown, but yet I got the truth. I know. Look at Roger.
Come back and told us. Hey,
we got the whole scripture that says he came back and told us what was going on. Rich man, Lazarus.
Hey, you know, that's our friend, a man passed away and came back and said, hey, girl, come on. No, we haven't had that to happen.
Yeah, but it's in the Bible.
Yeah, but that's
the same thing. It is the same thing. Because that same Jesus, that same word is like.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, Al, I see what you got came here with, too. All right, here we go.
I see in the first in verse 22, it says, then a demon-possessed man was blind and mute, and so he brought Jesus to Jesus' healing so that the mute man could spoke and saw. He's a new man.
Yes. He can do that. Ooh, he can do things that he was never able to do before. Yeah. Amen.
He's a new man.
Right.
One at a time.
And only Jesus can do that. I don't care what Buddha, atheism,
yep,
whatever you want to do.
Muhammad
can't change somebody.
Yep. Yeah. Even the Carbonaro effect. He can't do it either. All right, here we go.
That's a funny show.
Verse 25. Give me an extra 5 minutes on the lesson. I want to get kind of through this. This is kind of big. This might help somebody out. Verse 20. And Jesus knew their thoughts. See, that's, thank you, David. That's what the miracle reveals. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them. Now, let me give you a hint here. What's he going to do? He's going to break this down logically into the natural and then bring them back into the spiritual realm. Got it? Every kingdom, natural, divided against itself is brought to desolation. And so here's his point. He says, when you got people in the kingdom and they're fighting against each other, sooner or later it's going to be destroyed.
Doomed.
It's doomed. It might work for a while, but sooner or later it's doomed to fail. And then he starts giving you examples like you have, Lauren, Deb, like you have in that every city that's against itself, it applies to every city. It applies to every household. It can apply to every relationship. It can apply to your church. It is a It is not necessarily a spiritual principle, but it is a natural, logical. It makes sense. It's like the laws of nature. It's like what's the gravity guy? Pardon me? Yeah, it is the opposite of teamwork. Oh, yes, absolutely. It's the opposite of teamwork. And this is something that if you've got this kind of conflict within the kingdom, your workplace, this stuff goes on. And if you've got these two factions working against each other, it might work for a little while, but eventually it can't stand. It cannot be successful. All right? And then he breaks it out even further into the spiritual. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. So what you're saying is, if I'm doing this through the power of Satan, that makes no logical sense, because that would be Satan fighting against Satan. And so he's trying to win. He ain't trying to lose. So that doesn't make any sense. So now he's bringing the natural into the spiritual realm, because that lets them know your argument in the natural has spiritual consequences that puts you in grave danger. And then he says, and if I by Beelzebub, here we go, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they should be your judges. So what he's saying here is, if paraphrasing, if you guys say that I'm doing this miracle, all right, that you can see, I made somebody brand new through my ministry, and you're saying I'm doing that through the motivation of the devil, then when your kids preach and teach and drive people to the kingdom and set people free, what power are they doing it by? By the devil? No. So, the same way that you're putting your mouth on me and then you'll celebrate it because it's coming from over here. Oh, there you go. See, there you got different churches. Yeah, you know. Because you don't worship like we do over here, but we're still glorifying God, you know. So there you go. And then when you look at this, and this is the power of misinformation or whatever, when you see what's going on in the spiritual realm. In our nation, how long can we continue to fight against each other? Which is that? And you wonder why the United States is not mentioned in end time prophecy. I think we're taking ourselves out the picture.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get political. I'm saying you can't do on your job, can't have it. But see, you got to understand what's happening in the natural, what's happening in the spiritual realm. Because when you understand what's happening in the spiritual realm, then you can see how to better respond. Because people in the natural, like these Pharisees, they are blind to the truth. Because they're just trying to stay in power. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let me leave you with this. And we're leaving off at verse 27. All right. Whew. I didn't put the misinformation in there. I think it was supposed to be in there. Okay. All right. Think about this. Oh, there's that misinformation right there. Okay, I did see that. All right. There we go. The Pharisees call him, they see the miracle, and they call him a buster, a fellow. Discredit him. And then the next thing they do is, they discredit the motivation behind the miracle. How does Jesus respond to them? And what does he not address? This is huge. Let's make sure we get this before we go.
He doesn't address it.
David, you're going to have to teach this class one day. I'm going to tell you, man. Between you and Roger and whatever, you're going. He does not defend himself. Did you catch that? I was in prison ministry. I've been in prison ministry for a long time. One of the inmates stopped coming to the prison, to the Bible study. And I asked a question of one of the guys. I said, hey, I don't see Brother So-and-so anymore. What's going on? He said, well, he don't like the way that you wear your glasses on top of your head before I got all this hair. He said, yeah, he thinks that you wearing glasses on top of your head like that is disrespectful to God. And he just can't sit underneath your teaching when he sees you do that because it's disrespectful to God. Kind of what Norm is doing back there in the back. That's what I was doing. Now, my first response, of course, before I got all these steps and stuff like that down, my first response was, who is he? Where is he now? You know, I wanted to defend myself. But is that really the issue?
No.
So my response was, I'm sorry. Let him know that if me wearing my glasses on top of my head is the reason why he don't want to come to Bible study and hear the truth, I'll be more than happy to keep my glasses on top of my nose. But we all know that ain't the issue. Anybody get anything out of this? Sometimes in our conflicts, we will defend ourselves because somebody done put their mouth on us.
He wasn't rejecting you. He was rejecting the truth of the gospel because he was convicted.
And to shift the focus off of
himself,
he puts it on you so that you will start defending yourself. Now you're trying to justify you, and you miss the essence, which is we're not addressing the lie. I know they might have lied on you or don't recognize you, but what you really don't want that distraction is, let's get to the crux, the heart of the matter. It is, you turn the truth into a lie. When you start defending yourself, the focus leaves off of them, and now you're trying to, man. So, did you notice what Jesus did here? Well, take it and apply it. What do you got, Earl?
I was going to say Satan's misinformation can go back to the garden.
Absolutely.
He
ain't changed.
No.
So, how do we guard against this? And one of the inmates said it today. He says, well, you got to remember who you are. I'm like, whoa. So come on, Roger. We got to remember that we are brand new. Remember the temptation in the wilderness. He gets baptized. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lands on him and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Everything's going good. And, you know, fine, blah, blah, blah. He goes in the wilderness. He gets into a tough time. And the very first thing that Satan says to him in the wilderness is, if you were really the son of God, you wouldn't have to be going through all this stuff. This storm should have been over by now. And he wants Jesus to doubt who he is and who he works for and who's inside of him. I don't need to worry about what other people think about me.
Amen.
That's why one of these rap songs by Lecrae says, only God can judge me. I know it ain't blessed assurance, but it works for me. All right? Any questions? Give us something to think about. Don't let the old slip up into your new. Go through the steps. Process the things that are coming around. Try to understand the spiritual thing that is happening in the natural, and it'll help you not fall into the wrong thing and respond the right way.
I think humility is the key there.
It always is. It's first step. When you ain't humble, you're going to have, that's it. Well, and I want to thank you guys as we close this out.